It's eat, drink, talk.
Yum, yummy.
The wine is uncorked, the bourbon neat, the apps are on the table. And here comes the main course.
Welcome to Eat, Drink, Talk. I am Carolyn McLean alongside my intrepid co-host, Rick Redding.
Another good one. Thank you very much, Carolyn. We are recovered by now, I guess.
I mean, Derby 144 is in the books, Rick.
I just got dry. I just dried off.
That was literally the wettest Derby I have ever seen, attended, watched on TV.
It was crazy.
Oh, my.
How wet can you be when you got your clothes on? I was over there at the track, and even though I was partially undercover, it was like, it was crazy. It reminded me, although it wasn't anything like it, back in, I'm old, 1983 when I was in the infield when there weren't any stands and weren't anything out there.
Yeah.
And it was sunny all day, and the race finished, and it poured like buckets, and I'd never been wetter. There was no place to hide, no place to get under, and
the infield is.
I was drunk enough, I didn't care.
I was just gonna say the infield is scary when it's wet and muddy, and people are doing the mud slides and the mud fights, and but yes, it's all in good fun, right?
It is, and life does go on, and as we lick our wounds from. Our bet, you know, our bet.
Yes.
Even.
That's right.
We are the ultimate break eveners because we bet 10 across the board on Audible, which finished third.
Yep.
And our bet paid, I think it paid $30 total on a $10 bet. So.
Oh, so we didn't net anything. We broke even totally.
We basically broke exactly even.
But that was a hard field to bet.
Oh, but we were so close to winning a lot of money because Audible was right on Good Magic's neck at the end.
Oh,
and had Audible nosed in front, I had the Exacta, had all kinds of things, I would have been happy.
Well, we are going to talk about Derby, and we're going to do wrap-up. Our guest a little bit later in the show is Wave 3's sports director, Kent Taylor, who attended all the parties, drank all the good liquor, ate all the tasty food, and
He has some expertise on eating and drinking.
He just, the X's and the O's of how that sloppy track affected Derby. And my horse, Mendelssohn, who came in dead last. The backstory on what happened there.
The excuses, the excuse list. I used to always look forward to the Courier Journal coming out the day after the Derby, back in the days when you got newspapers and, you know, they had the whole section. And
right.
You saw what happened to your horse and where it was.
Yeah, I just read all of it this morning because I was curious. Also, 4th Street Live killed it over the weekend. The attendance was phenomenal.
That Justin Moore show here was the bomb. A lot of folks went there.
And that is our title sponsor, and we do want to talk about them. I do want to plug that they have Farmer's Market on Wednesday.
Yay.
So every Wednesday they have Farmer's Market from 11 to 2, and they have all of this farm fresh produce, which strawberries are so tasty right now. They're so in season. We ate like two dozen of them yesterday. But anyway, free parking right there on the 5th Street Garage if you need to run
free
in
parking.
Out.
That's
like around lunch hour. And I don't know about you, but I used to grocery shop on my lunch break when I was in a 9-to-5 gig, and I would bring a cooler because I hated my like produce or meat getting warm while I was, you know, working the rest of the day. So
set it out in the hot car and let it
get all melty and gross. So but yeah,
well,
I wanted to mention
Farmer's
that.
Market at 4th Street Live is a pretty cool idea, especially for people who work downtown. Go during your lunch hour and you won't eat as much, or you might nibble on something fresh and good.
Yeah,
which is what we like.
Yeah. So yeah, 4th Street Live. And also we'll talk a little bit later, but they have another country music artist coming to town. So
another
I want to talk about Lee Bryce is coming in on the 19th, and that's part of their Hot Country Night series. So, and he's good. He sings a song called That Don't Sound Like You.
Oh.
That Don't Sound Like You. So seriously, he's kind of a handsome country
singer.
I
went through a stage where I listened to country music. I could stand it. Like back when Garth Brooks and Patti Loveless were popular, and you know, I lost that vibe. You went through a stage. I got over it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I come and go. You know, it just depends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. So, but the thing is, I love seeing a concert outside during May because May in Louisville is wonderful.
Except for
Derby Day.
Except for the days that it rains. No, we went out. I went out to play golf yesterday. This crazy weather story. Went out like at 4 o'clock out in J-Town to play golf. We played three holes, and it started hailing. Hail the size of golf balls was falling on the greens and stuff.
Yeah.
So we quit and went home. We got, by the time we got home, the weather had stopped and the sun was back out.
Yeah. It's just kooky. It's kooky weather.
We're gonna
talk about that, how that sloppy track affected what happened at Churchill Downs. But I will say this, and this falls into the eating drinking category. Betting was up 8%. So people were spending money, even though it was pouring down. Now, they might have been doing that online, granted, but the restaurateurs that I have talked to, we're going to get to it, said that they killed it over Derby weekend.
Yeah.
They made a killing.
A lot of cash was flowing all over town.
People spent money
this year. I
saw a
lot of it at the track and all that, so that was great. So we got Ken Taylor coming in here.
Yep.
So that's exciting. You used to
I worked with
Wave.
Yes.
You've been there forever.
Yep, I worked at Wave with Kent, and we're also good friends. But Kent just has a really good perspective because he's behind the scenes. So he was dragging ass yesterday, and I can't believe he said yes to this interview. So thank you, KT.
All right, we'll be back with Kent in just a moment.
Rick Redding has his ear to the ground on Louisville news, issues, and media. Get a new episode every Thursday at Louisville.am.
Welcome back to Eat, Drink, Talk. I'm Carolyn McLean with Rick Redding and one of my pals, sports director, Kent Taylor from Wave 3.
In the house.
And his daughter, Emerson. You want to say hi?
Hi.
Kent
she's
is,
not shy.
Kent, she's got a future in broadcasting.
And Connie is mama and wife. And you're all old pals of mine and Lachlan's from my Wave 3 days. So thank you for coming in. I know you're like totally tired from covering the Derby.
It's a little exhausting. The thing for us is we stand up. It's not just being out there in the long hours, because those are not abnormal for this business, but it's just you stand up. If you're in the paddock, which I am for a lot of the day, and Connie's in the winner's circle, there's not any place to sit down. So
right.
You're literally standing up for just hours on end. And then the rain and that, you know. That
well, okay, good
well.
Good segue to talk about the rain and the soggy track. So, I mean, it never stopped raining.
Let me just interject here, Kent, because I want to get this out of the way first. I was on the Belle of Cincinnati boat race night. Brian Good was on there with me. Had a long conversation with Brian about what was going to happen over the weekend. There was zero mention of rain on Saturday. So take back to him.
I blame him.
That shows how inexact a science meteorology is. Because, honestly, I mean, they had said all along, like, first it was going to be pretty nice both days, then it was going to rain Friday, Saturday was going to be picture perfect, and then the front kind of came in a little later than they thought, so it started. Did it even rain on Friday?
At 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, and then Saturday it was going to rain a little bit in the morning. Then it went from that to it's going to stop in the middle of the afternoon, and even in the middle of the afternoon, and it's not just
it's going to clear off. It's going to clear off.
We were on the air, so our meteorologists are right there giving you the information they have. But even Dylan Dreyer on NBC was saying the same thing. You know, it looks like this is going to end before the race. The race is going to be fine, and then it just never stopped. It just held over the track.
How?
I said wow. Yeah, it was a little rainy.
Well, listen, I'll tell you what's wow is that it Emerson, it jacked some horses up. Okay, let me just start.
Who won, though? Emerson, who won the Derby?
Justify, and there's a horse named Mackenzie.
Little known fact. No, yep. Bob Baffert's biggest Derby hope was Mackenzie, who his last start, he had a stretch duel with Bolt Doro in the San Felipe and ended up, Mackenzie won but was taken down, so Bolt Doro ended up being first. Mackenzie was slated to run next in the Santa Anita Derby, but Mackenzie, who that's her middle name, Mackenzie, so she was excited, got hurt. So instead of shipping, they were actually going to ship Justify to run in the Arkansas Derby so they wouldn't run against each other, but then Mackenzie got hurt, so they kept Justify out there. He ran in the Santa Anita Derby, won that, and then the rest is history. Now he's the Kentucky Derby champ.
Well, my pick was Mendelsohn.
That was Connie's pick as well. He finished last.
Yes, he finished last. But can we just talk about how I read an interview with the trainer, and what a disappointing defeat. But trainer Aidan O'Brien was taking it really well. But that horse was just agitated. The Derby chaos did not bode well.
From our position, we're in the first turn because we used to do an hour show after it. Now NBC has hockey right up against it, so we take about 10 minutes. We're right after they go off the air for about 10 minutes, kind of going over the hockey. But so we're standing there. So we see the horses as they're going, making the walk over It was obvious right away that Mendelsohn wanted no part of the mud.
It was crazy.
It was crazy.
Well, they were. I read they were washing mud still out of the eyes of Vino Rosso.
I saw that, yeah.
You know, and that really, yeah, it was rough.
Well, and see, that's the thing about it is as much as you try to handicap it and figure out, you can watch all the prep races and everything, but there is no way that you can figure. You don't know how they're going to react when they get, because some of them it's just any kind of dirt in their face because they've never been behind, but when you factor in the mud and all the mud they get in their face, and that's why I had said I liked Audible going into the race,
yeah,
and
I still
like Audible.
I do too.
But and he had plenty of mud, and he ran a phenomenal race. If you go back and just watch him, he cuts it, right when they turn for home. He takes a sharp little turn and goes right up the rail, and was still making up some ground. And almost got up for second. But just look at the two; they have the same silks, the Windstar silks on. He is completely muddy. Javier Castellano is, while Mike Smith is completely clean on Justify because he just went to the front, didn't have to worry about getting any mud, and obviously a special horse because there were some pretty hot fractions on that front end, and he still pulled away.
Does Justify have the chops to be a Triple Crown winner?
So, Dad,
what do
I
you
have
think?
A question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
How was it at the Derby?
How was it? Well, it was
this
fun.
This is my junior reporter in training. She's sitting on my lap next to the microphone, folks.
he certainly looks the part. He's undefeated. I think he's the ninth undefeated winner of the Kentucky Derby. There's only been one horse undefeated win the Triple Crown. That was Seattle Slough in 1977. So he, and we've had, you know, when you factor in Smarty Jones was one who looked like he was going to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many. The biggest question I would have about him at this point is he's run four times in his life. Before the Derby, he'd only run three races. Now he's going to run three races in 5 weeks, and that's going to take something out of him. But he would seem to have. He's as a standout if you look at
beast.
Him. He's huge.
The counter to that is he's fresh. He's not as tired as all the rest of them are going to do that too.
And he's like I heard I was watching some of the I've watched most of the coverage on NBC and I saw an interview with Bob Effort. He's over 100 pounds bigger than American Pharoah. Yeah. I mean, this is
he's
huge
a big boy.
Monster horse.
Yeah.
And he's also obviously light on his feet. I mean he can run. Well, so he's got a big chance.
Well, trainer Bob Baffert said he was pretty spirited even after when he went to walk him the next morning. He was posing for pictures and winning and he had a lot of life still in him after a long hard race.
Yeah, in the mud.
So, in the mud.
You know, I'll be there at the Preakness in 2 weeks. We've gone for the last few years, so that's always a fun event. And then, you know, once there's going to be a lot of hype for the next 2 weeks, obviously, because he seems like such a big star. And
he's going to be a big, big favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who else would run against him. We'll see how many of these horses
come back.
Look, I do have a really quick question. Scott Reynolds did a great piece on Julien Leparoux, right? He didn't have a mount for Oaks or Derby. What happened there?
He hasn't had a great year. He was there riding.
Yeah.
I'm not sure of that. Now, he is a U.S. citizen, though.
Yeah, I saw that. He got married to a beautiful California girl. Yeah, and they have two little kids now.
Yeah. The Derby question I have, you're on the first turn, so you saw this up close. I couldn't see it from where I was. Those ladies making the walk from the stable back to the paddock. That had to be something.
The stuff we saw. First of all, Mike Rapoli, who's the owner of Vino Rosso.
Oh, I got a story about them, by the way.
And a billionaire.
Yeah.
A billionaire.
Uh-huh.
He and his friends were walking over with their socks, their pants tucked in their socks. That was a look I hadn't seen anywhere else. Then we had the guy who's posing. This was right in front of us. He's posing for a picture, so he steps back. It's kind of, if you're walking along the outside of the track, you can walk. It's not quite as muddy. You're not sinking in. He steps back to have a picture taken, and comes out of his shoe in the mud. A lot of the women I saw were taking their shoes off and walking barefoot.
Sure.
But it was incredibly, incredibly muddy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned Vino Rosso and Vinny Viola. I don't know who this guy is from Adam, but I'm sitting there reading a racing program on Wednesday, and he comes by and he starts making casual conversation with me. I don't, like I said, I just thought he was some guy, some swinging
Vinny
something.
Viola, who also was one of the owners of Always Dreaming, the Derby winner last year.
Well, now I know he's a billionaire, and now I know everything about him. But at the time, I was just being polite. I was kind of not really giving him the time of day. Because I was finished reading it was the end of Wednesday, right, at the track. And he won't leave me alone. I'm like, oh, God, it's one of these. And he says, And I'm serious. I'm actually blushing. Now he says, you have the most beautiful legs I've ever seen. And I'm like, okay, now he's getting fresh. So then he asked me a question and I answer it very like something about a horse that was working out. Like it was Lone Sailor, had the 57 3/5. I mentioned okay. Something like that. So he was like, oh, take. And you know horse racing, which I don't really. I just know enough to get me in trouble. And so then he stays and he tells me who he is. And of course, I'm like, I don't know who that is. He's like, I own the horse. Like Vino Rosa, it's my horse with this guy and this guy. And I'm like, oh. So I go home and I Google him. I'm like, oh, my God, the guy's a billionaire. Locke, the guy is a freaking billionaire. I should have talked to him more. You're over there hobbling around on one leg.
Was Lachlan with you?
No.
Oh, Lachlan.
No.
You saw my picture, I take it, of him leaning up against the tree on the backside.
Oh, that was cute. Yeah, KT and my husband are friends anyway. Well, last thoughts. I know I just like sucked up all the air on that interview, Rick.
Oh, no, that was good. Well, you know, this show's called Eat, Drink, Talk. Your culinary experience. When do you eat when you're standing around in the paddock all day?
You every once in a while you get a chance to go have some almonds at the truck. We have the pack van they have where they feed all the crews. But the food this year, this was the first time they ever voted on what we'd have. So we had hamburgers on Friday in there, and Saturday lasagna.
Lasagna at the Derby?
It struck me as a little strange because. Well, everybody's all dressed up.
And it's messy.
You might, yeah. So we didn't really eat. We did go in the press room and had what they had.
Hot browns?
No.
He didn't remember because he didn't eat.
We had a little bit. And then the greatest thing, though, was we had some friends who watched Emerson. Mm. Emerson, where'd you go this weekend? You have to come over here to talk into the mic.
I came to the lake with my friend Cece.
She went to Lake Cumberland with her friend Cece. Oh, cool. And then... just to show you how these people are phenomenal. They're like saints. We go over to their house, the Sublets, afterwards to pick her up. Mm-hmm. They made a steak.
They fed you.
Yeah.
Okay, Rick says that when he was covering events as a member of the media, he felt obligated to eat the food because it was free. Do you feel obligated to eat the food because it's right in front of you?
No,
and free?
But there is, you know, I always say you can put... if you put food out for the media, no matter what it is,
it'll get eaten.
They'll eat it.
Yeah.
We did a test one time when I used to work at Channel 32 where they put out like a 2-week-old fruitcake or something. No, the people eat it. Everybody eats it, and then they'll complain about how bad it is, but they'll eat it. They'll eat anything.
Just for the record, yeah. I was telling Carolyn that story because I don't eat like that anymore.
That's
and
true.
I just changed,
it's
and
crazy.
Now I don't eat.
It is crazy.
Everything I see because I'm worried about where my next meal's coming from.
Do we have time for Emerson to tell a joke?
Come here.
Tell
Emerson.
Us one of your knock-knock
Come
jokes.
Here. Come here.
Our mic's on, I think.
Is it on? Okay.
That one works.
Okay. Sorry about that. Right, go ahead.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting rooster.
Interrupting rooster.
Who?
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Oh, well, you got to say it when she starts dancing. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting rooster. Cock-a-doodle-doo. See, like that.
Oh,
gotcha.
Yeah.
But I'm fine. Oh, well, Emerson, thanks for joining us in the studio. I know you're off to Granny's house, and Kent, KT.
I've got to go back to work.
Kent's off to Wave 3, and Rick and I are off to our other jobs.
Off
so
goofing off.
Yeah.
<It's> crazy,
sorry. Kent, it has been great having you in and being on this great podcast.
Did anyone give her? No one liquored her up, did they?
No.
I've never done this before.
Carolyn usually brings alcohol in here for us to have during the show. And,
I knew children were going to be in attendance, so.
I know.
Not like she hasn't been to my house before, though. Anyway.
Well, we do have more show coming up after Kent leaves, so stay tuned for more of Eat, Drink, Talk. And welcome back to Eat, Drink, Talk, the city's only podcast exclusively about eating and drinking. And sometimes we have a sports guy on.
Why are you busting my chops today?
It's fun. Well, Kent was great talking about all the things that go on involving, you know, life involves eating and drinking. So that's what we're doing, Carolyn.
We are celebrating.
Talking about life.
We're always celebrating.
That's our life. Now, we used to be kind of news people, so we got some news.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the news that we gather during the week to talk to you about. Things that if you're not paying attention, you might not know what's going on.
Yeah. Let us have it.
I've got some things under the category of things that were supposed to happen by Derby.
Okay.
Shoot. But didn't.
What's at the top of the list?
At the top of the list. The monkey wrench.
The monkey wrench.
You probably used to go to the monkey
wrench. I like the monkey
when
wrench.
Denny Humphrey was in charge over there. It was great.
So laid back and cool.
It was. And it was supposed to open as V-Grits, a vegan restaurant and brewery, if you can believe it.
Okay.
And that was announced back in December.
Mm-hmm.
And they were supposed to be opened by Derby.
Yeah.
Of course. That's the classic line. I don't know what happened.
Well, it's a laundromat now.
And I just cringed. I drove by the day and said, what? A laundry?
Yes.
Come on.
You didn't know that? I've seen it. And my friends said, what happened to the monkey wrench? I said, it went out of business a long time ago.
Effing laundry. Golly. That's just what we need. All right. Another thing that's supposed to happen, and this is like the city of Louisville's longest running restaurant redo story. Is the old Lynn's Paradise Cafe right up the street from
Mount Sure. Okay. Yeah, it's going to be, yep.
So they the latest announcement that was in the news was like in December, I saw that construction was set to begin. This is after like a 2 or 3 year process from when it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to be like people can't remember when it was Lynn's Paradise Cafe.
Oh, yeah, they will. They will.
But Martin's Barbecue bought it, and it's supposed to open. I saw there is finally some actual construction going on.
Okay, so there's movement.
They're not going to make spring, as was promised,
mm-hmm.
by Derby time, but it's happening. So that's a good thing.
Okay, I love Martin's Barbecue.
Okay.
I literally dog that up when I go. Like, I think it is so tasty.
They have that location out in Indian Springs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Nashville-based chain, and it's good. Good, they're bringing it in town.
It's good, and it's affordable.
If you, yeah.
FYI, and you go up to the counter and order. You know, I'll have my thing about that. But I don't mind it at Martin's because they're quick, man.
Well, a last story around town, because my old stopping grounds at Iroquois Park, Colonial Gardens has been probably going on as long as, I mean, it's been closed like, you know, Elvis was there.
Well, I read that article. It used to be a zoo.
Yeah.
Did you
zoo.
See that?
It's got all
animals?
This stuff.
Yeah.
But a few years ago, they've been trying to refurbish it. Basically, they wanted to knock it down. It's historic. They can't knock it down. The councilman, the crazy councilman, Dan Johnson, mm-hmm. is in his district, and it was involved. And he wanted to get rid of the Little Caesars next door. He wanted to kick them out of their lease and all that. So that was a bad thing. They waited. But I noticed yesterday they have knocked down the Little Caesars. There's a construction fence around it. And I read up on this, and they are spending $5 million on that facility. It's supposed to be restaurants and a beer garden. It's going to open next spring.
Maybe.
Wait for it. By Derby.
Before Derby.
Before Derby.
You know, that's a prime location, though.
Yeah.
You know, right there by Iroquois Park. I mean, that's beautiful.
It is. It is a pretty good spot. So, Carolyn, there's some new things going on. I know we talked about the rabbit hole opening.
Mm-hmm, you went.
And I went, and it's spectacular. But right across the street, a new Marriott Hotel.
Yeah, was that nice?
I walked through the lobby, and it's fancy, spiffy.
That's the AC? It's called
Marriott
the AC?
Marriott AC,
yeah.
So you can check that out. They got a little bar area
mm-hmm.
there, as all hotels do.
Wait,
and
does that look a little, like, feel like a loft?
Yeah,
is that the look and feel
sort
of it when you were in there?
It's the hipster. Among hotels, it's the hipster hotel.
The hipster, like a loft. I kind of thought it had that kind of a vibe.
Yeah, it was cool. So we've also in the news we have some beer news, not beer nose, beer news.
Yeah.
And is Hometown Pizza one of your stopping grounds?
Not really, but it is. I have eaten there before.
Yeah, I have too. I used to when I ate pizza and. Used to mm-hmm. go by there sometimes. Well, I found out over the weekend that they are building a brewery on that site on Preston.
Really?
Yeah. It's like between the Watterson and the fairgrounds.
Uh-huh.
And they got this big spot there. They got 25,000 square feet, I think, or 2,500. 2,500 square feet. They're going to put a brewery in there. And it's interesting because it's their first, you know, it's a venture into that. You know, it's like a chain of restaurants. There's like 20 of them.
They're popping up everywhere.
Yeah. There's only like four or five in town, but they got the market on some little cities around the state. So, the popularity of the breweries is mind-boggling to me. How many there are now, and you don't even drink it.
No, I don't. You know, I'm actually going to bust some news out that I don't think I'm just trying
we need a drum roll or something?
No, but
there's something I don't know that's coming up.
I don't know if it was off the record, so should I say it or not?
Yeah, you should say it.
Should I say it?
Well, what I used to always say, well, nobody's listening. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, here it is. There's a Growlers. Have you heard of Growlers?
I know what a Growler is.
Growlers is coming to Southern Indiana.
Oh, it's a name of a place. I know what a physical
It is the name of a restaurant and brewery of craft beer. And
okay.
Enormous choices.
We need another one of those.
And that's what I was trying to say. They're popping up everywhere. So Growlers is coming over across the river to Southern Indiana. And what I'm testing your beer knowledge. What is the person's name that comes to the table that says, I'm going to help you pair the right craft beer with what you want to order from this menu?
Well, the places I go, it's called the waitress, but
no,
you know,
they have a specific name, just like, you know,
sommelier.
Yeah, it's like a sommelier, but it's for beer, and I can't remember the name. But I remember talking to somebody that's involved with this grand opening, and they're giving
me the
411 on this. Yeah,
wow.
So Growlers,
well, another job.
If you Google
it,
though, you will see Growlers Restaurant, and we had one in Charlotte where I used to live.
Okay.
So
okay.
Coming to Louisville, coming to
if
Southern
you wander
Indiana.
Over to, if you get lost and wander over to Indiana,
yeah,
you're stuck there. You know, all the restaurants over there are closing. So they need to, you know, you heard Rocky Sub Pub, which has been there forever, closed last week.
Right next to Buckhead's.
Yeah. So
what's going in there?
I don't think they have anything yet. That or the other one that closed over there.
Huh.
What was that? The Bristol closed.
Well, there's
over
Hooters.
There. Yeah, Hooters
across
is
the street. You're thinking of Bristol closed, which was across the street from Rockies in the Sheridan.
Right.
So
we're talking about beer, and I thought this was an interesting list came out at Derby Time from Business First.
Mm-hmm.
Top 10 breweries, local breweries, ranked by the number of gallons of beer produced.
Not drank, but produced?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, because most of the breweries, they have like tap room where they serve what they have, and then they work on distribution. They try to get their product out to grocery stores and retail outlets and all that, and that's sort of the challenge, because there's so much.
Right.
There's so much competition now. It used to be a lot easier than it is. What do you think were the top local brewery in terms of product produced?
BBC?
You selected, if we were playing, what's that thing?
With Jeopardy?
Not Jeopardy. the thing where you, the five most popular things, and you ding, ding. Oh, that's number three. BBC is way down the list at number eight.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number one was Goodwood. My good friends. I had Joel Hobleib from
like
that
Goodwood
place on the show, and had sampled some of their stuff right down there on Clay and Main.
Right.
There, right across from. Whole bunch of new stuff going in.
I haven't been to Goodwood, just so you know.
Okay. Well, that's one.
I mean, because I don't drink beer, so I only go if somebody's. I'm going with, you know, the person that enjoys the beer.
Well, let me just give you the top five. They're all places that are, I think they've opened within the last several years, and I guess they've got good product. I'm not a beer snob. I don't judge it. But after Goodwood, it's Against the Grain.
Okay.
Down by the stadium.
Yes.
The Great Flood.
Okay.
Which you may not know, it's in the Highlands, Barstown Road, their tap room. Monic in Germantown.
Never heard of it.
Okay. And Mile Wide.
Okay.
You know where that is?
No.
I'm stumping you. Mile Wide is down there behind Diamonds on Barrett.
Wait a minute. Diamonds is like St. Matthew's,
no,
Lexington,
there's,
right?
There's one on Barrett.
Oh, that's right.
Down off
I forgot
Broadway
about that. Yeah, that's right.
So those are the top five, and also honorable mention, Gravely.
Gravely.
Which is the newest one.
Yes.
Cumberland Brews is on there. Gordon Biersch, our friends at
4th Street Live.
And they got some big stuff coming up. And Akasha, which is in New Look. So imagine all those, most all of those places weren't here 5 years ago.
Yeah. Okay.
I can remember them opening each one almost.
Do you watch CBS Sunday Morning ever?
I do sometimes.
Okay.
It's the coolest.
I religiously watch it, even
show.
If it's a DVR. But anyway, they just this past Sunday had a story about these little craft beer microbreweries popping up, and they say when that is occurring in your city, that is a sign of revitalization. Now, I don't think that we were in dire need of revitalization, but they literally called out Louisville, Kentucky as one of those spots.
Well, we're making the news. I saw that. Your friend, Bobby Flay.
That's my chef crutch. No.
Bobby Benjamin.
That's Bobby Benjamin.
You're going to tell me about Bobby Benjamin.
Yeah, but Bobby Flay from Food. Yes.
And the story was that he came in and did a breakfast for some bigwigs that own Jets. Okay. And his he said that the city was in the ranks of Houston and Charleston as some of the top up-and-coming culinary powers. Emerging.
Houston and Charleston.
I didn't know those two we were with.
That's who he compared us to, though?
He says those are emerging culinary powers.
Okay.
So, Flay also picked Good Magic and finished second in the race. So, good for him. But what about Bobby Benjamin? He had an interesting Derby weekend.
I touched base because I wanted to get a little temperature check on how the restaurants did over Derby weekend. And so, he said that it was his best year at Butchertown Grocery ever, the owner and executive chef, Bobby Benjamin. But what he said was fun was that he was hired by the Packers. And, you know, they had multiple.
The Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. And so the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, rented a house with all of his buddies, all the players.
Wow.
And Bobby cooked for them for 3 days. He was in the house with them.
Wow.
And he said they're very cool. And
on the most profitable weekend for his restaurant, I'm sure.
He said he had four sous chefs and a pastry chef. He was like great staff, but he did say that a lot of them are from San Diego, you know, have roots around California. And so they want authentic Mexican. So he did a lot of Cuban.
Wow.
And a lot of authentic Mexican for them. But he just said they were nice as can be, invited them to a game, you know, just like they weren't just like crazy wild. They were just good guys.
Good old
but
guys.
He had a blast. He said like nine plus or something. They're a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big team. Yeah, a lot of people came in from the Packers.
I saw that on the list. It's a big NFL thing, I guess. You hear all kinds of stories about the people and the celebrities.
Who's the old guy from Dos Equis? He came into the Bobby's restaurant
and to Butchertown Grocery. Man in the world.
He served him. He went out and said hi to that guy.
He had a bunch of photos with a bunch of different people I saw on Facebook. You know, he was the inspiration for the Rusty Satellite Show. The most interesting people in the Ville.
Oh, that's where you ripped that off?
You don't think I made it up myself. I stole it from somebody. That's what you do.
For the longest time, I thought your name was Rusty, okay? Before we're all like cool in the gang together.
The yeah. Yeah. So that's going on with the Rusty Show and all that. So that sort of wraps up our Derby festivities. It was fun. There's a lot of great events coming up that you can see on eatdrinktalk.net. Laura Wallace of City Concierge has a list we post every day almost about things that are going on in town. And so that's something to see. And there's plenty of stuff going on, other stuff going on the site. You can listen to past episodes and hear our incorrect Derby predictions if you listen to last week's show.
Yeah, right? eatdrinktalk.net, iTunes, Stitcher, leave us a review, right?
There you go.
Tell us you love us.
Our Twitter handle is eatdrinktalklou.
Yeah, one last plug for 4th Street Live, Farmers Market on Wednesday, and our country music star will be there May 19th. And he
Lee Bryce, I remember Lee
now
Bryce.
Now you remember his name. Okay, good, Lee Bryce, good. And $15 in advance for a ticket and $20 at the door. Saturday, May 19th.
Call that a deal.
Yeah.
Good prices. All right. Well, I'm glad they're having success down at 4th Street Live as they are all over town. So it's really a threat. We're in an emerging culinary city.
All right. I love it.
Bobby Flay said so.
I love it. And I just want to say one last thing. As much as I love the Derby, I am ready to get on with the rest of spring and summer.
Well, that's right. It's a great place to live, a great time to be in Louisville, and glad you joined us. Tell your friends about the show. It's we really have a good time putting it together for you. And right, Carolyn?
Yeah.
We're having a ball.
Have a great week, y'all.
Catch up on the city's restaurant scene every day by visiting eatdrinktalk.net.